The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Program. I'm Dwight Falk, filling in for Stephen Fleury. He should be back tomorrow, so we'll look forward to having him back. But really happy to be with you here today, being able to fill in. I really appreciate that opportunity. Trumpet Daily, of course, airs Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Central Time. And you can watch the live video stream at thetrumpet.com/live. The show is available on your favorite podcast apps as well. And you can watch it on Rumble. So lots of places to get the Trumpet Daily, and we appreciate you joining us. Well, our April edition of the Trumpet magazine, many of you probably received it. This is the cover, quite a striking cover there. Are Satan and the Demons Real? And if you haven't gotten that one, please request it. You can read it at thetrumpet.com. A powerful issue. Again, that's the April issue of the Trumpet magazine. And it focuses on Satan and his demons, and the impact that they're having on this earth. Everywhere that you look, you can see a lot of problems in this world, and those problems are increasing. They're increasing all the time. And I want to look at some of those problems today. And I want to look at some of the ways that Satan and his demons are impacting society. They're impacting this world. And Revelation 12 and verse 9 talks about the time period that we're in today. And it says that Satan and his demons have been cast to this earth. They're on this earth. Verse 12 of Revelation 12 says, woe. There's a warning here. Woe. Take heed. Be careful. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea even. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. He has great wrath, incredible wrath, because he knows his time is short. He knows that Jesus Christ is about to return and replace him as ruler of this earth. And he's full of wrath because of it. We can't probably even conjure up in our minds how angry he is, because he's about to lose his position and his authority. Satan is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 talks about that. And that's something people don't think about a whole lot, but he is. And when you look at events happening in this world, you can see his impact. You can see what he's doing. Think about all of the problems in society and Satan's impact on what we see around us. And there's a lot of things we can think about. Certainly we can think about the wars that are ongoing on this planet. Right now, there's about 30 or so ongoing conflicts, armed conflicts on Earth right now, affecting people, taking people's lives. The Russia-Ukraine conflict is getting the most attention, of course, at this time. And the destruction continues to pile up. And you'll see some of that destruction in this first clip. This is clip one. Just looking at some of those clips, showing the before and the after of the satellite imagery, and then here's some drone footage of one of the cities over there, Markina. And it's incredible. I mean, that's where people used to live and raise families and have jobs and go to the cafe and just the normal things people would do. And that's the result of this conflict. There's a lot of places like that today. It makes me think about when Satan rebelled and was cast to this earth the first time. It was tohu and bohu. And that's what you see in those pictures, right? Ruin, waste, destruction. Tohu and bohu. And that's just a small part of the earth, but it's expanding out those types of problems. It's just really shocking footage to see that. To think that those were cities where people were living and raising families and children were playing, and now it's just tohu and bohu. It's a pile of ashes and rubble. And there's a lot of footage like that. The total deaths so far are in the hundreds of thousands. I mean, there's different statistics on it. Maybe it's hard to totally calculate it at this time. But a huge amount of deaths from this conflict. It's been going on for, I think, 400 plus days. Just ruin and destruction. That's not the only conflict on this earth. But that's one of the main ones that's happening, and there's a lot of attention on it. And we have a lot of write-ups at the Trumpet about that to get into the political side of it and what's happening and what you can expect to see there. But you just consider all of the destruction. Satan's behind that. Hundreds of thousands of deaths, cities destroyed, refugees. With the people that live there, if they're not dead, where do they go? They have to go somewhere else. More and more of that is spreading, that type of destruction. Imagine that being your neighborhood. You leave and you come back and it's just a pile of ash. That's happening on this earth right now. And Satan is influencing that. Wars. Where do wars come from? It comes from Satan. He wants mankind to fight, kill each other, destroy, and it's happening. When we think about Satan's influence, we also think about what's happening in the Western countries at this time, the rapid moral decline. We just came out of Pride Month. The latest Trumpet talks about that. All of the problems, as you see, the moral decline, the destruction, and with that, then a lot of more fighting between people, as you'll see in this next clip. This is clip two.
Tensions boil over and come to blows. One person is injured, despite pleas for calm.
Everybody, there's kids here, stop!
For much of the day, a row of police officers stood outside Satakoi Elementary and tried to keep the two sides apart. Even when they blocked each other's paths and got in each other's faces. The school became the center of protest after some parents learned that a video of a book where it says some kids have two mommies, some have two daddies, would be played at a Pride assembly. This mother, who helped organize the protest, says she should have been given the choice of opting her child out of attending.
This is not the right message for kids, to confuse them at this age, what kind of families are out there, because they don't know anything. They don't understand.
Look, I have gay friends. I have nothing against you guys. Absolutely nothing. This whole gathering was for the parents to meet with LAUSD officials and tell them how we feel about it.
But counter-protesters argue signs reading stop grooming or sexualizing our kids tell a different story.
Queer people are not inherently sexual. We are just like every other person. And the fact that out here they're trying to harass these poor children into being in their worldview is atrocious.
LAUSD superintendent defended the assembly, saying the book was approved by the state.
As a parent, as an educator, we should not accept children being used as political pawns.
Our protest is against LAUSD.
Protesters tell us they kept their kids home today, but others sent their children to school.
So on top of the perversion and all the massive problems in there that Satan is behind, there's also the fighting between people. I mean, they're not quite at full war yet, but not far from it. So you see this continual division. Satan's a divider. And, of course, he's lawless, and there gets to be this fighting and all of this. You know, people don't think much about Satan and his demons, but they're real, as this Trumpet points out. They are real, and you can see the impact. You can see the influence. You look at a crowd like that, how many demons are there? Stirring it up, stirring people to get angry, stirring up all kinds of perverted thinking. And they're there. They are there and they're influencing it. They're influencing and getting involved in the problems in Ukraine and in these protests and in the pride movement and all of that. They're there stirring up animosity, hatred against each other, hatred against God, hatred against God's laws, division, chaos, destruction. Tohu and bohu, that's what Satan brings. Destruction and ruin. And so in all these clips that we're looking at today, we'll see that as a theme, right? It's just destruction all the way through. Nothing positive, no growth, no development. Destruction. Where it comes to ruin, it comes to ashes. That's what we see. Satan is heavily involved in influencing what's happening. What we just saw there, perversion, fighting, violence. You can see Satan's influence also in the destruction of the cities of America. And we'll see this here in this clip. This is clip 3.
Foo Fighters.
Even in the pouring rain, the addiction is fierce.
What is that?
It's called pixie dust.
Drug users congregate under umbrellas near bus stops and vestibules. Or simply get high out in the open in front of shocked parents and children.
But you know, if anything, it's teaching her not to do drugs.
I never will.
Good for you.
This all happened over the weekend in downtown Seattle.
All of that, like, in front of people, you know, it's bad.
With most of the action concentrated on 3rd Ave and Pike Street.
Whatever the city decides to do is not going to stop.
Right in the middle of this tourist gateway.
The security of it, I'll tell you what's in there.
The drug of choice remains fentanyl, also known on the street as Fetty or Blues. These tiny pills being smoked on sheets of foil now go for as little as $2 a pop.
All of us have Narcan.
Health officials say it's the primary driver behind King County's record drug overdose deaths last year.
No secret, dozens of people have been dying on San Francisco streets from drug overdoses. We have seen all of these images and then some playing on a loop on the national media. And it's heartbreaking. And, now,
and you can see there, and there's a little more report actually that's coming up here in just a minute on this one. But you can see just how there's so many problems. And they're just showing some footage there of what's happening in San Francisco. And then there's some that's happening in Los Angeles as well. You could pick any city in this country. I mean, even ones that aren't that big. And you see these problems in the downtown areas. You see the drugs. You see the destruction, the homelessness, and all of that. It's terrible. But again, what's the theme here? It's tohu and bohu. It's destruction. It's ruin. You feel bad for those people. They're caught in a spiral of addiction. That fentanyl is so addictive, and it's full of such toxic chemicals that it is just absolutely killing people. And it is so deadly that the people that are addicts to it carry around, I think it's called Narcan, to try to revive themselves or be revived when they overdose. It's amazing what's happening in our cities. Who's behind that? Who's the author of that? You know God's not the author of that. That's from Satan the devil. And you see it in all of the cities, big ones, small ones. There's just this drug epidemic. And the people, once they're hooked, it's so hard to stop, and then they're homeless, and then there's the crime because of it. There are certain parts of this country, you know, cities where people don't want to go there. Of course, you've heard a lot about retailers moving out of some places. They can't even be there because the crime is so high. People are stealing, sometimes just to steal, I guess, but also stealing so they can sell the items, so they can go buy their drugs. I think it was one store in, I think it was Portland, where they locked up everything, even spam. they showed a picture of spam, and it was locked so no one could steal it. So that's what's happening in these cities. They're like war zones. Like, you know, you don't even want to go down there. Unfortunately, with Seattle and some of those places, they do have a certain beauty to them, or they used to. Those are some tourist attractions, as they pointed out, but who wants to go down there now? I've been to some of those places, you know, 20 years ago. I wouldn't go there today. I don't want to step over these people that are overdosing on drugs or have my children see that. I mean, those are American cities. And people act like, well, what can you do about it? You know, all they try to do is basically herd them into one area and then revive them when they overdose. Does Satan have a hand in that? Is he influencing that? Of course he is. When people get into those types of drugs, They open up their minds more and more to Satan's influence and the crime and the violence and the destruction that comes. I mean, it is really horrifying. And most of us don't live in those locations, so maybe it's easy to kind of block that out of our thinking, but that's what's happening in cities. And it's spreading. It's spreading because Satan and the demons are real. And they are cast down, as we read about there in Revelation 12, full of wrath. And you can see that wrath and the repercussions of it everywhere. So much destruction. It's really a display of Satan's destructive power and what he can do. He is a destroyer. He's a destroyer. Satan and his demons are active in many ways. And we can see it, I think, quite clearly when you look at like a city, like some of the clips we just saw there, or you look at Ukraine, or you look at those other areas and you see the destruction. But Satan broadcasts, and he can influence lives. Does he influence you in your life? Does he influence your thinking? Does he influence your children, what goes on in your home? He's a master of it, and we have to be on guard against him. We need to take a deeper look at how Satan is working today. How is he working in this society? Well, the Bible tells us a lot about that. Satan influences people. Notice this passage here in Ephesians 2. The Bible tells us how Satan operates, if we'll believe it, if we'll read it and take it to heart. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, it says, "Wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world," talking to God's people that have come out and changed, but, you know, being called out of the world, that's how people walked before. This is how most people walk. This is their direction of life. It says, "according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." Satan is referred to here as the prince of the power of the air. And Herbert W. Armstrong explained this very well in his book, Mystery of the Ages. That's free. You can get that at thetrumpet.com. But he talked about how this scripture works. He gave it more depth in terms of how we can understand it, because when he was doing his work and God was working through him, radio and television was coming on the scene. So that was a new technology. And when that came on the scene, he understood this passage better. He writes in Mystery of the Ages, he says, "I could never have understood this," what we read there in Ephesians 2, "until, number one, I had understood how radio and television sounds and pictures are transmitted through the air." And I think we certainly are familiar with that today. But, you know, again, at the time that he was writing, this had just come onto the scene not too long before that. And he's writing about his experience in it. And he said, number two, "I learned the truth about the human spirit and the human brain. If your radio is set on the proper radio wavelength, or television set is tuned to the proper channel, the broadcaster's message comes through clearly. Satan, as prince of the power of the air, broadcasts." He broadcasts. It says, "not in words, sounds, or pictures, but in attitudes, moods, and impulses." That's how Satan broadcasts. He broadcasts, just like, and we understand that, like Mr. Armstrong talks about here, television, radio, the internet today, or a cell phone, right? If you click on the right website, you can watch what's there. And if you turn away from it, then you don't see it because you're not on that site anymore. We understand that. We understand how that works in the technology realm. But Satan operates in a similar fashion. He is the prince of the power of the air. And he broadcasts these moods, these attitudes, these impulses. And he's very effective in moving people to do a lot of things. And if we consider also what we read there in Ephesians 2 and verse 2, not just the fact that he broadcasts, but as it says there, that spirit, his spirit, the way that he broadcasts, the way that he thinks, now works in the children of disobedience. So what do we learn from that? Well, we learn that as people disobey God's law, as they sin, they're more heavily impacted by Satan's broadcasting. They get on his wavelength. They disobey. They disobey. They disobey God. People that are sinning and disobeying God, and in just a lifestyle of doing that, they're just more in tune with Satan's thinking. They're turned to his channel. They're constantly turned to that channel. When people get hooked on these terrible drugs, they are just 24/7 on Satan's channel, on his wavelength. They're just so caught up in the sin. That spirit works powerfully in children of disobedience. So we need to be obeying God's law, and we'll talk about that a little later. But people are disobeying God. There's a really interesting point here that illustrates this. If we look at John 12, we look at a case study of this happening. Somebody disobeying God, getting into sin, and then Satan having more and more influence in their life. John 12, and starting in verse 2, this is right towards the end of Jesus Christ's life. And it says, "There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly." It's a very expensive oil, and she goes and she anoints him. "And wipes his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." But now understand what happens here. "Then says one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot." We know Judas and what he ended up doing. "Simon's son, which should betray him." He says, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" "This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein." So here is Judas, even in the presence of Jesus Christ, and he's hooked on coveting. He's a thief, as the Bible points out. He's steeped in sin, and he's not changing, he's not repenting, and he's having these sins in his mind. He's disobeying. And we read there in Ephesians 2 that spirit, that power of Satan, impacts those that are disobeying more and more and more, and it takes hold. So what happens to Judas? What does he do as he continues to disobey God? John 13 and verse 2. "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." So here Judas is disobeying God. He doesn't repent. He continues on this sinful thinking. And Satan gets more and more influence in his life. He takes more of a hold of him, and he starts to use him. That's horrifying to think about. But why does it happen? Well, Ephesians 2 told us that. That spirit works in the children of disobedience. So here, as Simon just keeps going, as Judas just keeps going, there's those problems that just keep happening. And it gets worse and worse and worse, and Satan impacts him more. John 13 and verse 27, finally, here's what occurs. "And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That you do, do quickly." It got so bad for Judas that Satan actually possesses him. Fully possesses him. That's horrifying. You see, Satan broadcasts, and the more people sin and the further away from God they are, the more impact that he has, that he can have, even to this point where it was so bad, where Judas was so far removed from God that Satan could actually take possession of him. Satan entered into him, it says. That we should take that very seriously, that history. Take that very seriously. What happened to Judas? Well, we'll look at that in just a moment. But the point's made in Romans 6 and verse 16. It says, "Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." You know, like those clips we looked at earlier, particularly the drug problems and some of those things. Well, they're servants to the drugs because they're slaves to it. That's what they've given into. If people give in to Satan and his thinking, they become slaves to him. And in some cases, like what happened with Judas, he actually possessed Judas. He actually possessed him. Whatever we yield ourselves servants to obey, That's what we obey. That's what we do. Those people that are caught up in those horrible problems, whether it be the drugs or some of the lifestyles and all of that, they might think, well, they're making their own decisions and they're just, you know, deciding what they want to do. And in a way, that's true. They have to make a choice. But they're also opening their minds up to Satan's broadcasting, his moods, his impulses, his way of thinking. And that moves them to do the things that they're doing. Jesus Christ gave some powerful correction to the scribes and Pharisees of his time. And it had a lot to do with Satan. And we get some real insight into Satan here. This is John 8 and verse 44. And Christ tells them specifically, he says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So we learn here that Satan is a liar and he's a murderer. That's kind of his two-pronged attack, I guess, lie and murder. He's a liar, a deceiver, and then ultimately, though, it ends in murder, death, destruction. When we consider the history of Judas Iscariot, what was the end result for him? You know, he was sinning. He was a child of disobedience, and Satan worked powerfully in him to the point where he actually possessed Judas. So what happens to Judas? Matthew 27 and verse 5, it says, "And Judas cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." He killed himself. And then you can read another passage where it says he fell and burst asunder. He hanged himself and then he fell from the rope and he blew into pieces, I guess, burst asunder. I mean, a horrible death. But that's the end result of Satan's way. And then, of course, Christ was murdered as well. I mean, God allowed it for a particular purpose, but still, that's what happens. Judas got so far into those sins that Satan possessed him, and when Satan was done with them, Judas killed himself. That's exactly what Christ was talking about in John 8 and verse 44, where Satan's a liar, and then he's a murderer. Lie and murder. That's how he operates. You can think about just historically events that have occurred in more recent times. You think about the terrible history of Hitler and the Holocaust, Satan possessing Adolf Hitler. We've written about that at the Trumpet. Mr. Fleury has written about that. What's the result? What was the result of that? Well, Satan got involved there heavily, and 6 million Jews were murdered in the Holocaust along with many other people. Terrible things. And then what happened to Hitler? Well, to our knowledge, he killed himself. He died as well. So what's the end result when Satan's involved? You have a lot of lying, and then you just have death. You have death. Tohu and bohu, destruction. That influence is on this earth very powerfully today, as we read about in Revelation 12. Very powerfully. Satan's broadcasts are lies, and then they lead to murder. His ultimate goal is to kill mankind. He hates man because of our incredible potential. We have a book by that title, The Incredible Human Potential. It's free at thetrumpet.com as well. But he wants to destroy mankind. I mean, those clips that we've looked at and some that we'll look at moving forward, again, the theme there is tohu and bohu. It's destruction. It's killing. It's getting rid of people. That's what the Holocaust did. Just got rid of a lot of people. And ultimately, a lot of the Nazis that were very much involved, they were killed as well, or killed themselves. And it just continues to go that way. Satan broadcasts lies, and then it ends in murder. And that's what we see happening in society today. And we have to be on guard against his tools. One of the most powerful tools that Satan uses to broadcast is perverted music. He broadcasts perverted music. And a lot of it is, you know, in the realm of the popular music. maybe not in every case, but a lot of it is. And so I've lived long enough now to see sort of like a generation pass. And I've seen what happened to a lot of the popular musicians of my teen years. It's interesting to look at that, considering what we read there in John 8 about Satan being a liar and a murderer. So I can remember all these different musicians that were popular and making a lot of music back when I was a teen. And a lot of it was pretty rough music, not that I listened to all of it, but you know, I was aware of it on a certain level. But now what's happened to them all? It's interesting. We'll take a look at that in just a minute. But I want to make one point before we kind of look at some of those people and what happened to them. But Satan is a musical genius, right? He broadcasts in moods and impulses, and he uses music also. And he's a genius, but it's a perverted genius now. This is from our book, How God Values Music. It's free, like all of our literature at thetrumpet.com. And it talks about music and quality music. Music's a great thing, and music's awesome if it's right. But Satan perverts it. But here's what the book states. And it starts out by quoting Ezekiel 28, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus says the eternal God, you sealed up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Now, that's no human being. This is talking about Lucifer. It says, "You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering." And it lists the stones there. And then it says, "The workmanship of your tabrets and of your pipes was prepared in you in the day that you were created." So the book says, the quote says, this is not a physical king, or else the notion of musical instruments being created in him makes no sense. This refers to a magnificent, beautiful, wise spirit being, an angel who was in Eden. It's talking about Lucifer. And he was created perfect before he sinned, obviously, but created with musical genius in him, and now it's been warped. It says, the great cherub Lucifer was, in a sense, a living musical instrument. He was endowed with musical talents beyond human capability. God said that at Earth's creation, the angels sang together. You can read that in Job 38 and verse 7, denoting an ensemble, community, and cooperation in music. So for a time, he did make beautiful music. But then it got perverted. It says Lucifer was surely among them, if not in a leading role. How this must have changed, though, when he rebelled and became Satan, the adversary. It says, imagine how distorted and warped Lucifer's music became when he turned from God's way. When he rebelled against God, his mind became perverted. It became twisted. And everything that he is involved in is also perverted, and it's twisted, and it's against God. And it all leads to tohu and bohu, to ruin, to destruction, to decay, to waste, to destruction, death, ultimately. It says, just before the description of Lucifer's fall, Isaiah 14:11 talks about the noise of his nebelim, N-E-B-A-L-L-I-M. It's another instrument, perhaps like bagpipes, being brought to the ground. So a lot's being said here about music. Satan knows how to captivate people and influence people through perverted music. He knows how to make it appealing. This is a quote from our April trumpet. Again, are Satan and the demons real? And if you haven't read it, please get it. It's essential for our time today. I mean, it's essential to understand what's happening, to understand the spirit power behind it, and know how to protect ourselves from it, as we'll talk about a little bit later. But it says, Satan remains skilled at music. He still is skilled, it's just perverted. His skill is not in creating uplifting, beautiful music, but music that is appealing and powerful, but is still self-willed, rebellious in spirit, and evil. Now, I mean, there is some pretty extreme music that I think most everybody would say, wow, that's pretty bad, you know. But then there's a lot that's a little more subtle, and we just have to use a lot of wisdom, again, in what we listen to, what we allow our families to listen to. What's the attitude? What's the spirit behind it? We have to really discern and pray for wisdom there. But again, remember, we read earlier in John about how Satan is a liar and a murderer. And so I was a teenager in the 1990s, right? So at that time period, the popular music of the day mostly was grunge music. So if you're from that time period, you probably remember that. Grunge music. It was dark and depressing. And then rap came along too, more of, I guess, this gangster rap where it was about street life and so forth. Those were the two popular music forms that really took off in the 90s. Where are those people today? What happened to the popular musicians of the 1990s? Well, let's take a look at that. Here's clip four.
Part of the grunge movement, as I understand it, is the fact that these kids have the ability to say anything they want to say, express anything they want to express, any anger, any pain, any anguish, any torment, and they feel a kinship, a oneness, that this young man has been through tragedy.
I'm Kurt Loder with MTV News. Nirvana leader Kurt Cobain, an extraordinarily gifted singer, songwriter, and guitarist, was found dead in Seattle on Friday morning, apparently a suicide. His body was found at a house that he owned but didn't live in anymore on Lake Washington Boulevard. He was discovered by an electrician who was doing some work on the house. He had been killed by a blast to the head from a 12-gauge shotgun.
The lead singer of the rock band Alice in Chains has been found dead in his Seattle home. The partially decomposed body of 34-year-old Lane Staley was discovered Friday night. Medical examiners identified it during an autopsy Saturday.
Blind Melon frontman Shannon Hoon was found dead in the band's tour bus in New Orleans on Saturday afternoon. He was 28 years old.
Scott Weiland, one of rock's most distinctive voices, has died.
This morning, the music world is remembering grunge rock pioneer Chris Cornell. Cornell died unexpectedly late last night. He was in Detroit, and he was 52 years old.
Rap star Tupac Shakur died last night after a brief life in a rough business. He was 25.
He was only 24 years old, was just starting what was expected to be a promising career in music. But tonight, it's only what could have been. Los Angeles police are investigating the shooting death of rapper Notorious B.I.G., also known as Biggie Smalls.
And would you believe there's a lot more than that? Those are just some of the bigger names that got some more headlines, but there's a lot of people that were involved in that music scene that, and at the forefront of it, creating the content, and they were very popular, and they had their moment of fame and fortune, I guess, and they're dead early. They're dead and in some pretty horrific ways. Suicides, drug overdoses, murder. Is it true what Jesus Christ said, that Satan, the devil, is a liar and a murderer from the beginning? They're dead, you know. And a lot of people look up to those people still. And I'm not trying to accuse them of anything other than just state the facts of what happened. They were in that scene, they promoted that type of music, and they're dead today. It's shocking. And even news commentators sometimes will reflect on that time period and say, wow, isn't it amazing how they all died? Many of them died. Well, when people are influenced by Satan, then they speak like Satan, and then they sing like Satan, and then they write songs like Satan. They make movies like Satan. They make video games like Satan. They make television shows. They make websites. They write things like Satan does. He's behind it, broadcasting in moods, attitudes and impulses. And those are the results. Christ warned us. He said Satan's a liar and he's a murderer. And people that get heavily influenced by him, look at what happens. And that doesn't even, we didn't even talk about just the people that listen to that music and a lot of what probably happened in those cases. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that everybody died, but look at the numbers. There's quite a few that got heavily involved in those things. And they're not alive today. Satan is influencing, and we have to be on guard against the way that he works. He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. There's so many areas we could talk about. We don't have time to get into all of it. But one other area I just wanted to mention, where Satan's a liar and a murderer, and he's broadcasting that, is in the health that we lack in this country, in particular in this Western society. Drive down the interstate and just look at the options for eating. It probably tastes good, probably has an initial appeal, same like the music, an initial appeal, but what does it end in? Well, we see where it's leading, and it's not going anywhere good. It's going to death. Here's clip five.
Obesity in America. It's something we don't like talking about, but it's hard to ignore. Let's face it, we're getting fat. In fact, it's so bad, some call it an epidemic. But these are the facts. America's obesity has not doubled, it's tripled in the past 50 years. The CDC defines obesity as anyone with a body mass index over 30. In the 1960s, that was only about 14% of our population, but today, it's closer to 40%. At 33%, Texas ranks 14th when it comes to obesity in our country. But why is it so bad to be overweight? Well, it's dangerous. The census says the two primary drivers of mortality are smoking and obesity. It can increase your risk of diabetes, heart disease, even pancreatic, liver, and thyroid cancers. The most unfair part of this, it's not equal among everyone. Those with low income and less education were more likely to experience obesity. But with almost 72% of Americans being overweight, it's an issue we need to tackle today.
They're always trying to throw in some sort of inequality into the equation there, and that might be true. But the bottom line is eating the common popular diet today ends in that. It ends in obesity. Well, it doesn't end in it. It results in obesity, and then ultimately, if that's not corrected, then death comes quicker than it would normally. And disease and all of those issues that are so prevalent in our society today. And again, a lot of people just don't realize what they're doing to themselves. Satan's so good at deceiving and making it seem like it's fine, it's okay, you can have these things. But again, it ends in death. That's where it ends. And you know, of course, humanly, we know we have a limited lifespan, but still, God intends for it to be a healthy life and a nice long life where we can develop the character that we need before being given eternal life in his family. But Satan wants to murder. He wants to cut life short. He wants to cause all kinds of problems. His ultimate goal, again, is to destroy man because he hates man and he hates man's potential. He's cast down to this earth, as we read there in Revelation 12, and he is full of wrath. And he's taking it out on us in every way that he can. So what do we do? How do we conquer Satan? How do we fight against his broadcast? We cannot ignore him. If we ignore it, then we're just going to be deceived. He would prefer it. He would prefer us to not think about it and just kind of go with the flow of popular movements, popular culture. But we can't do that. We have got to conquer his broadcast. We get great insight into how to do that in the book of James. James 4 talks about a strategy that we can use, that we have to use. We don't have any power of our own to conquer Satan. We have to rely on God to do that. And James 4 gives us insight that we need. We need to believe it, and then we need to apply it. You know, we need to believe what Christ said there in John 8. We need to believe what is revealed there in Revelation 12. We have to believe these things. We have to believe that Satan and the demons are real, and they're having an impact, and they're lying and murdering and inspiring that, persuading people to get into all sorts of lawlessness and rebellion and broadcasting. Satan's broadcasting. James 4 and verse 1, it says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts at war in your members?" Now, if you read the James booklet that Mr. Fleury has written, and it's at thetrumpet.com, and I'd suggest that you do. All of our literature is free. You can get it by calling 1-866-930-3024, 1-866-930-3024, or go to thetrumpet.com. And again, everything's free. But he points out in that booklet, the James booklet, how a lot of this is talking about God's church and the problems that happen within the church, which now we see those problems happening in the society as well. But he says, look, there's these wars and fightings among you, And it comes because it says, you lust and you have not, and you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, and you fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. And you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. There's so much lusting and coveting and, you know, people getting into these selfish mindsets. And again, Satan is broadcasting that. Selfishness, self-centeredness. He broadcasts that, and people become very much in that mindset when they're rebelling against God, and it gets further and further into this selfish way of thinking and living. It says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? We can't live the broad and popular way and think that we're not going to have a problem, because as it says here, friendship with the world, in other words, getting into the popular scenes, whether it be music or whether it's the common diet or whatever it is, that's against God's law. It's against his way. Because Satan's a god of this world. Satan inspires, if we can use that word, he pushes ahead what's popular, what he wants to be popular, what can entrap people into all kinds of terrible addictions. But it says, do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? See, like Mr. Armstrong talked about, there's a human spirit, and it's tuned to Satan's wavelength. We've got to turn the channel and not let him broadcast into our thinking, and we can do that, as we'll see. It's a lot of bad news, right? But there is very good news here, because we don't have to go along with what Satan's doing. We do have a choice, but we've got to be aware of the choice and then make the right one, and we see how to do that here as we go. It says, wherefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. We've got to be teachable, right? A lot of people will hear about Satan and the demons, maybe, if they were to listen to this show, and maybe say, well, I don't believe that. not have the humility to look into the Word of God and believe it. We need to have that humility to let God teach us. But here it says, submit yourselves. This is what we need to do. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, we actually have the ability, when we submit to God and resist the devil, to make him flee. We're not going to do it of our own power, but when we draw close to God, and that's the steps there, those are the steps in order, spend our time drawing close to God, resist Satan and his broadcasts and his impulses and what we see in the popular culture around us, and we can cut off that broadcast. We can make sure that Satan's not broadcasting into our minds and having us be open to it, that we turn the channel. But if we don't do anything, if we don't draw close to God, we're just, again, we're automatically tuned into that wavelength. We've got to resist. But it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God. See, again, as we read in Ephesians 2, that spirit of lawlessness there, Satan's spirit, it works in the children of disobedience. Here we're told to draw close to God. That means to obey him and pray and study and eat up his word and then apply it. That's where to do. It's a proactive actions that we need to take. And God will draw near to us. Cleanse your hands, it says, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded, and be afflicted, and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. This doesn't mean going around being depressed and sad all the time. It's talking about repentance and looking at the things that are happening in this world. Some of what we talked about today, some of the clips we saw, I mean, there's so much more we could have talked about, but those are some of the big things, I guess. There's probably plenty of others that maybe we could have addressed, but those are some of the things going on in this society. We've got to make sure we're not involved in certainly drugs, but the type of thinking that leads into that or leads into these perverted lifestyles or the music that might be popular, but the spirit of it's wrong and it's leading in the wrong direction and it's against God and his thinking. The types of diets and the types of things that are causing so many problems in this society, we have got to repent of that if we're involved in it and change. And of course, you know, nobody is without fault. We all have to be changing and growing. we don't want to be discouraged, but we want to take it seriously and realize that we've got to come out of Satan's society in the way that he thinks and acts and cut off that broadcast. And then, as it says, God will lift us up. Then we'll have the help we need. Then we'll have that real joy that we all want. We've got to make sure that we draw close to God and resist Satan, and then he will flee. And you just don't see people doing that today in society in general, at large. And that's why you see so many problems in the cities. That's why you see global conflicts. That's why you see drug addictions. That's why you see, you know, music stars that died way early and have influenced others in negative ways. We have to come out of that and resist that, resist those broadcasts. One final quote here. This is from the James booklet. Again, it's free and you can get it at thetrumpet.com. It says, if you submit to God, Satan will flee. If you submit to God, if you obey God, Satan will flee. He does not want to be around that. He doesn't want to be around that. He doesn't want to be around obedience to God's law. He hates God's law. He doesn't hang around there. He is disobedient. If you submit to God, Satan will flee because he knows the power of God. You know, as destructive and powerful as Satan is and his demons, God is far more powerful. And it won't be long until Satan is put away. We have plenty of material on that at the trumpet.com if you would like to study into that and the course of events that are coming up. But it says, with his cunning, with Satan's cunning, he has taken most of God's own people captive. And that's how powerful he is. Even people that knew God's truth, that knew this, that studied this, they still got taken captive because at some point they stopped drawing close to God. They stopped resisting Satan. Satan just needs a little foothold. He just needs a little one. And then he's got his foot in the door. And then if that doesn't get stopped, you end up like Judas. But it says, you have the power to make the devil flee. In order to drive this powerful and evil being away, we need only submit to God. The Laodiceans, those God's people that fell away, have failed to do that. So Satan has gotten to them, and he knows how to use them for his purposes. If we don't use the power of God, Satan will get us. We cannot take that lightly. We looked at some, just a tip of the iceberg today, of people that are not close to God, and Satan's just running crazy in the cities and in these, you know, global conflicts and in the drug addictions and in the popular culture and in the diseases in society. I mean, he's just in everything, and it all results in murder, right? Lying and murder. Christ warned us about that. Do we take it seriously? Here we read the same, you know, thing, that if we want to conquer Satan, we've got to draw close to God and resist the devil. We have to do that, and if we don't use the power of God, then we'll end up like, well, some of the things we've seen today. But we can conquer him, but we've got to take the warning seriously. Make sure you get this Trumpet magazine if you haven't already. This is from the April edition. It is the April edition. Are Satan and his demons real? It goes into a lot of different topics, like some of what we talked about today. It talks about music. It talks about the way that Satan is impacting popular society and culture. He is the god of this world, and we're told to come out of this world. But we can do it. Again, James 4 there, it gives us that formula that we need. Resist the devil. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Make sure you sign up for a Trumpet subscription and all the literature we talked about today. You can get it for free by calling 1-866-930-3024, 1-866-930-3024, or you can send in your request or any comment to td@thetrumpet.com, and if you feel inclined, you could send an email and tell Mr. Stephen Fleury how much you enjoyed me. Maybe he'll let me come back. I hope so. It's been great spending some time with you today. Mr. Fleury will be back coming up tomorrow. And thanks for spending some time with us here on The Trumpet Daily. We'll see you next time.